Welcome back. This time every week we talk with our good friend Janet Moreno from Priest for Life and the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. And Janet, we had a wonderful response to your beautiful interview you gave us last week based on the cover story. You were a cover girl.
Oh, wow.
The National Catholic Register had that beautiful story on you, Revert, Silent No More. So just a great, great testimony. It was so good to hear more details about your walk back to the church.
Yeah, well, and I just hope it encourages all those out there that might have a son or a daughter, you know, that are in their 20s or 30s and are not going to church and they're getting frustrated. I'm just saying, parents, hang on. You know, just keep praying and be kind and gentle, because they might come back just like I did. I mean, I was away, Teresa, for 17 years.
Yeah, I was away for a long time, too. Yeah.
So never give up on them.
Look at us now, huh?
Excuse me?
I said, look at us now, right?
I know.
Who would have thunk it?
We're like Catholic maniacs.
Remember when we were walking through the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception earlier this year at the Walk for Life, and you and I were walking up for Mass, and we were looking at these young people, and we were saying, aren't they great, and how
I know.
We were so humbled by them because we were so not there.
I know. I remember us both saying, look at these kids. They got their rosaries in their hand. Some of them were reading Bibles before Mass, and we both looked up and said, I wish we were like that when we were their age. We were so blind and just like so rebellious, you know, and praise to all the youth out there that are so with it and with their church, you know. So, you know, we can't go back and fix what we messed up. But I think that's why God has a real good sense of humor, because, boy, when he gets you back, boy, whoa. You talk about falling in love with Jesus. Whoa.
Amen, sister. All right, lots of good stuff going on for you and Father Frank in terms of getting lots of great exposure for the pro-life movement. I know you're about to tape your new programs for Defending Life, which appears, of course, every Friday evening, 10 o'clock Eastern on EWTN. And then you're going to be on Father Mitch's show next week, I understand.
That's right. Yeah, we jump on a plane on Sunday and fly down to Birmingham, and all week we'll be in the studio taping our Defending Life 13. This is the 13th series that Father Pavone is doing, 13 years of Defending Life. And that, of course, will debut in the spring of 2008. But on Wednesday evening, Father Mitch will have Father Frank and I on the live show. So everybody will have to tune in and see what questions Father Mitch poses to Father Frank and I. You
know? So that's Wednesday, September 12th, then.
That's right. And I believe it's 7 o'clock Central,
8 o'clock Eastern.
Eastern is the live show. So tune in. And because also, too, Father Mitch always has us hint at some of the upcoming things that will be on the series.
Can you kind of give us a little teaser, as we say in broadcasting, what you'll be talking about? Just a little
teaser,
bit.
A teaser. Ooh, I don't know. Should I give away the store or not? Well, one thing Father Frank is going to do this series is there will be about 6 of the 13 shows will be just Father Frank by himself.
Oh,
what he's going to do, he's going to do a 4-part show, one each week, that will be called The Principles of Pro-Life Action. And he's going to show how 1 week will be focused on your prayer life. Another week will be on education, pastoral care, and public policy. So it will be a 4-week thing. It's like a mini course, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be exciting. And then he's also going to do 2 shows on the spirituality of being pro-life. And that will be a 2-part show. And then we're going to have, you know, a few guests tossed in. We're going to do a couple of shows on post-abortion healing with Dr. Philip Ney. And Father Dennis Wild from our priest staff is going to be there. And, you know, he's been a priest associate for a decade now. So he's going to talk about on the road and preaching and being with his brother priests and how the lay people out there can encourage their own priests and help support them. Because, you know, it's so hard being a priest and dealing with this abortion issue, because you're going against the times. You're going against the culture. So that show with Father Dennis should be really interesting. So I think that's enough, right? I've told enough.
Wow.
Stay tuned,
right? A lot of stuff to look forward to. Another story I wanted to talk to you about, we were discussing before we brought you on the program, this very frightening story that came out of, it's actually out of Nebraska, but LifeNews.com is reporting it, as well as several pro-life websites. I wanted to ask you about that this week. Just let me read you this headline, which is, this gives me the chills. A Nebraska woman is now suing Planned Parenthood after an abortion at its facility resulted in the perforating of her uterus and a severe loss of blood. The abortion perforated the woman's uterus and, according to doctors who treated her later, could have killed her. The unnamed woman filed a lawsuit against Planned Parenthood of Nebraska and Council Bluffs on Friday with the help of a Lincoln attorney. And it goes on to talk about just the problems with the procedure, Janice. As the suit was filed in Lancaster County District Court, the woman has issued a complaint to the Nebraska Health and Human Services Department. It says, our client has filed these complaints to bring to light the negligent actions of Planned Parenthood and Dr. Merrill Severinsen. This is according to a statement. The woman had the abortion at the facility last month, and the abortion perforated her uterus. She was ultimately taken to a local hospital, where, get this, she lost 80% of her blood and experienced severe pain. An ultrasound done prior to the abortion found the woman was 8 weeks pregnant and had a tilted uterus. After waiting several hours, the woman was taken into an exam room and given a shot in her cervix. She then heard a suction sound and immediately complained of excruciating pain, according to the lawsuit. So a lot of gruesome details in this, but I think suffice it to say we need to bring this out because of what's happening in these abortion mills around the country. And you are well aware of this.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I always like to think back of Clinton's big phrase, abortion should be safe, big word, safe, legal, and rare. You know, and unfortunately, stories like this that you just read are not rare. And this is why we know abortion is not safe. I can tell you by former abortionists, for example, Dr. Tony Levitino, who's a good friend of mine and Father Pavone, mm-hmm. and he goes around speaking, he performed abortion within his practice here up in New York State where he lived. And he himself, in his testimony, has told Father and Pavone and I on many occasions how, oh, yes, there was a time when I perforated a woman's uterus during the procedure. Another time he talked about when he went in with the clamp to grab the baby, something, I don't know, he went in the wrong direction, whatever he did, but he perforated a uterus and then pulled out part of her bowel. So, I mean, this poor woman had to have all kinds of other surgery because of that. So, you know, very often people don't realize that an abortion is a blind procedure. You know, they're going in with the forceps, the suction tubes, the curette, and all that. And, you know, they're pulling the baby apart. Now I'm talking about second trimester abortion, you know. And this is how this complication happens. It's because it is a blind procedure. And it's very, very often that the uterus can be perforated. Now, there are some girls, you know, with the Silent No More Wins campaign, a good friend of mine, Anne Marie Cosgrove, talks about after her abortion, she couldn't have any more children because of the complications and the damage that was done to her uterus during the abortion. So, you know, this is not such a simple thing. And what drives me crazy, Teresa, is you go into Planned Parenthood, and I know the line they tell these girls because I know by girls who've come out and changed their mind or the women from the campaign, they just tell them that this is no big deal. It's a safe little procedure. You have, you know, we understand you don't want to have a child right now. It's going to interfere with your job, with school, but don't worry. You can always have other children when you're ready, you know, when they meet Prince Charming and get married. Well, very often when that happens, they meet Prince Charming and get married, they discover they can't become pregnant. And mm-hmm. why? Because the complications that occurred to them during their abortion that they didn't think was going to affect their ability or their fertility to have a child when they want a child, you know? And that's what's wrong right now, Teresa, with our society. This is all like we have to be in control instead of God in control. And as soon as you start messing around with stuff like this, you're looking for trouble. So, I mean, I just hope that story gets out far and wide so that people realize that abortion is not a safe procedure. It's, you know, filled with all kinds of problems and complications. I mean, the most tragic thing we all know is that the baby is killed. But also, too, a part of the woman dies, too, you know, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So I really, you know, hope that people take heed and repeat the story. See, our listeners right now, Teresa, what they need to do is take this information that we're giving them here today, write a letter to the editor about this, comment about that. You know, not everyone maybe would have heard about that story in Nebraska. So compose a letter to the editor and say, this happened, blah, 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 and then say, you know, make a pro-life comment, like, we know by testimonies of women that this is not an isolated incident. They can point them to the Silent No More Awareness campaign where they could read more stories and just say people should take heed before going and having an abortion, that you this might be the only child you will ever have mm-hmm. based on what happens to your abortion. Yeah. So, you know, we really want people to kind of, like, get the word out for us about these stories.
I want to just remind people that we're listening to Janet Moran, and she's with us every Friday morning from Priests for Life, their website, priestsforlife.org, and also the Silent No More Awareness campaign, of which she is the co-founder. That website, silentnomoreawareness.org, and also Father Frank Pavone and Janet Moran are seen every Friday evening on EWTN, and that's on Defending Life, 10 o'clock Eastern. And they're going to be on Father Mitch's live program next Wednesday. That would be September 12th. That's 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, and there's going to be a recording starting next week, all new programs for Defending Life. Janet, what always drives me crazy is just even that saying, safe, legal, and rare.
I know.
As you said, you know, it's not safe. Okay, so it's legal, big deal. But, you know, rare.
And it's also not rare.
It's not rare when you have over a million a year and the 47 million babies have been, you know, murdered since Roe v. Wade. And the other thing is if they support it so much, why does it have to be rare?
Right.
That's so hypocritical.
I know.
Because when you come right down to it, when you talk to them about that, about rare, they say, oh, yeah, it should be rare. But then when it comes to, you know, instilling or upholding or, you know, putting up new laws that would restrict or cut down on abortions, they all go crazy.
Right. I tell you, it's just like, you know.
So they put out all these nice little sound bites for the media
right.
that sound, oh, so moderate and so reasonable, or
right.
as they think they do.
Yeah.
Then you come right down to it. They want abortion continuing all 9 months as much as possible.
Well, and the perfect example of that, Teresa, is the fight they gave on the partial birth
abortion ban. And the comments that came out from some of these candidates, both Republican and Democrat,
right.
when that was, you know, when that was upheld by the Supreme Court.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if they're in favor of partial birth abortion, you know, see, in other words, they don't want to give up even a little fraction of abortion. You understand? And this is where we still need to educate people, because I think I told you this story just recently. I was with a friend who is on the other side, and we talk periodically, and this guy says to me, well, you know, their abortions don't occur that often, and they're only in the first few weeks of pregnancy. And I went, what? I said, no. I said, do you realize that Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton made abortion legal through all 9 months of pregnancy? And even if it's a healthy baby of a healthy mother, they can still have the abortion? I said, right up till delivery. And this guy went, you're kidding me. I said, no. I said, so next time you say you're pro-choice, that's what you're saying you're pro-choice about. So don't go banter around that phrase, pro-choice. He goes, oh, no. I said, what do you, and I reminded him about the partial birth abortion ban. I said, what do you think that whole battle was about? I said, that procedure is legal, and just because they banned the procedure, don't kid yourself. They're still doing late-term abortions in this country. They're just killing the babies a different way. And he was, like, floored and shocked. So I think, Teresa, the message here is for our listeners is, don't give up repeating the facts. Don't give up repeating the basics. There's a lot of conversion we have to do out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, just within our own circles, because people don't realize what goes on in the United States of America today, that 4,000 children every day die. You know, there's a doctor here in New Jersey, in North Jersey, an abortion clinic, that he basically specializes in late-term abortions. And I know the sidewalk counselors and the people who go out there and pray at that mill every Saturday, and they will tell you, it's sickening. You will see women go in there with maternity clothes, like, you know, stomach showing that it's very obviously they're pregnant. You see the baby, they go in, and they come out, no baby. I mean, it's so visual and upsetting. So you have to repeat these stories. People have to realize that this is still going on. And then what makes people think that taking a baby like that out of a woman forcibly like this is normal? You know what I mean? And there's no risk to her. It's absolutely ridiculous. So anyway, what can I tell you? We still have to go be brave, smile, you know, bring the light of Christ
mm-hmm.
in spite of all this. Because I'm telling you, I do see, like, look at this kid, Christopher, that I just described.
Right.
He's now less pro-abortion. You know what I mean? Like, because he said to me, and this kid works behind the scenes for ABC News. So when you think about this now, he's in a big sphere of influence, and I've helped shape and change his mind a little bit so that the next time he hears this banded around the newsroom, he's going to maybe speak up and say, well, you know, did you know? You see what I'm trying to say? So you never know the seeds
right.
you
Well,
plant.
We actually had a case here in Michigan 2 years ago where it was a similar case where a woman died of a botched abortion and the media covered it. And I got a call from a reporter, I don't know if I told you this story or not, from the NBC affiliate here in Detroit
uh-huh.
who was asking me about it. She just wanted some background information, and she had no clue. Now, this is a reporter. Like this guy working behind the scenes at ABC News, you know, if they're covering this issue, they should know. But the problem is they've been so indoctrinated by the misinformation out there.
Right.
And the same thing, this reporter said to me, well, you know, I don't understand. How could she have had, this was a late-term abortion. How could she have had a late-term abortion? Isn't that illegal after the first trimester? I said, no. And
right.
I explained to her, you know, the laws, and she says, you're kidding me. I said,
yeah.
No. She had no idea. And this
yeah.
is a reporter covering this story, and this is not for a tiny town. Detroit's a big news town like New York or Chicago.
Right.
You know?
And that's why we have to stress with our listeners, Teresa, over and over again, don't stop repeating the basics. You know, when the subject comes up, just kind of, it's kind of like, think of it as a review class, you know. Review the facts with your friends and family and neighbors and when the subject comes up, because very often people just don't know the basic facts. They really don't.
And also in terms of the connection to abortion breast cancer, I still get a lot of emails about that one.
Absolutely. And, you know, I tell people all the time to go to Dr. Brin and Angela Lanfranchi's website, get their information. I mean, they have such great literature up there now that you can download that really walks you through why there is a link between abortion and breast cancer, and so that everybody can use that information to educate others.
Mm-hmm. And that website I want to give out again is I think it's bcpinstitute.org, correct? Breastcancerpreventioninstitute.org.
That's right.
Yeah.
So,
all right, my friend. Well, you've got a busy week ahead of you with all that taping.
Yes.
I know that can be tiring, but it'll be a great new season.
Oh, please, everyone pray for Father and I that the Holy Spirit is with us and the cameraman and everything goes well. You know, it's a big schedule and a lot to pack in, and we can't afford any glitches, right?
Right. Yeah.
So pray for us and tune in Wednesday and watch us with Father Mitch on the live show.
Now, on Father Mitch's show, I don't want to give it away, but are you going to be talking about the Defending Life series? Do you have something else you're going to be talking about? Can you give us a little taste?
Well, that's kind of up to Father Mitch, you know, and he will be asking us both questions.
Okay.
So we'll have to see what direction he wants to go in. I know he'll want to talk a little bit about some of the guests or whatever we're taping with the series, but they usually don't like to give away too much, you know. But I'm sure he'll be asking Father and I just about what's going on in the pro-life movement and some, you know, general questions. And you never know, Father Mitch, sometimes he tosses in a few surprises. So everyone's going to have to tune in and see. You know, again, you have to leave room, Teresa, for the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know?
It's live TV, so who knows what could happen, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we take call-ins. So if people have a question for Father Pavone and I, call in the live show Wednesday night, and maybe you'll get on air and ask your question.
Well, that's exciting stuff, though. I love Father Mitch. He's such a great way of explaining the faith. He's so like Father Pavone. They're both so brilliant, but they have just a great way of reaching people, I think.
Yeah. They don't overcomplicate
no.
it. They boil it down for us people that just like, could you just tell me in simple sentences?
Well, you know, and that's how you can say, as you can really tell brilliance, is when you know that they can dial it up or dial it down. They have that knowledge, but they
right.
can bring it down to a level where people can understand it.
Yeah.
You know, so. All right, my sister, we'll have a great weekend. Get plenty
okay.
of rest as you gear up for all that taping next week.
Yeah, and good luck to all the kids going back to school and
yeah.
college and everything, and all the little kiddies starting pre-K and nursery, too.
And remember that our education never stops, right? It continues every day.
That's right.
I actually wrote my September newsletter about that this month. And by the way, if people want to sign up for the newsletter, it's free. You can just go to my website, teresatamio.com, and sign up for it. And it's all about learning and how the process continues. And just because we don't have, let's say, a backpack or we're not enrolled in officially in school, doesn't mean we still can't learn, as we learn every day, about our faith and about the many teachings of the church, including the pro-life teachings. Janet, have a great weekend.
You too.
God bless.
God bless.
Janet Miranda with the Silent No More Awareness Campaign and Priests for Life. Coming up, we're going to talk with author, speaker Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle more about Mother Teresa. Donna had some very, very close workings with Mother Teresa over the years and actually had been to India, also has several letters, and Donna wants to add her 2 cents to what's going on in the media this week. Of course, we marked on Wednesday the 10th anniversary of Mother Teresa's death, and then on Tuesday, that new book written by her postulator was released called Mother Teresa, Come Be My Light. Donna has some beautiful insight on Mother Teresa of Calcutta and her dark night of the soul. Stay tuned.